book of Mark, chapter 1. I'd like to read verses 29 through verse 32. Very common passage, familiar passage of Scripture. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came, took her by the hand, lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. What we read here, of course, is the record of Jesus at Peter and Andrew's house and Jesus healing Peter's mother-in-law. It's also recorded by Matthew, Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 and 15, and also by Luke, in Luke chapter 4. Verses 38 and verse 39. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record the arrival of Jesus at Peter's house. And in that house, verse 30, Simon's mother-in-law, means Peter was married, lay sick of a fever. So in that house, there was some home or family trouble. There was some home or family difficulty. Some home or family trial. Some home or family burden and concern. We can all identify with that. And Jesus is there. That's the main thing. The main thing here is not that Peter's mother-in-law was sick. The main thing is not the problem. Never is. Never. The main thing was that Jesus was there. We need to always make that the main thing. Jesus, we want to take the thought of the message from verse 30. And anon, they tell him of her. Those words paint a very powerful and plain picture of intercessory prayer. Jesus is there. We have to keep that in mind. With that in mind, we read that Simon's mother-in-law lay sick of a fever. So we have two things. We have the presence of Christ, and we have a need. Peter's mother-in-law lay sick of a fever. With regard to these two things, Jesus is there and there is a need. With regard to those two facts, we read and, a conjunction used to connect words, phrases, or thoughts. The thought we need to connect here is Jesus is there and there is a need. And followed by what the apostles did in relation to these two facts. Jesus is there, and there is a need. And here's what they did. And anon, they tell him of her. The word anon, it's not a word that we use today. It is the Greek word euthus. It means straightway. It means immediately, without delay. So again, Jesus is there. There is a need. And immediately, and without delay, they tell him of her. And that, of course, is followed by the miraculous work of Jesus. So I want to speak tonight on without delay praying. And anon, they tell him of her. Without delay, they tell him of her. Without delay, praying. First of all, we want to see a picture here is drawn of intercessory prayer. I want to focus upon those words, they tell him of her. And again, this was without delay. Without delay, praying. They didn't think of anything else. And anon, they tell him of her. That's the kind of praying we so desperately need. We see here that they needed something from God. They not only needed something from God, they needed it now. That's how they felt. They needed something from God now. So what did they do? And anon, without delay, because they needed it now, they tell him of her. They felt the urgency of a need. And anon, they tell him of her. We don't really feel the urgency of a need if we do not anon tell him. If we do something else before we tell him, we have not grasped the urgency of the need. She is no doubt deathly ill. There was an urgency. And anon, they tell him of her. This was their impulse. They tell him of her. This is what they did. This is what they did. A simple statement of fact. And anon, immediately, without delay, they tell him of her. Nothing unusual or out of the ordinary or surprising about this. It is simply what they did. And it ought to be simply what we do. And anon, they tell him. I believe this was their norm. Again, this wasn't unusual for them. It wasn't out of the ordinary for them. It's what they did. So it ought to be with you and I. It ought not to be unusual for you and I to immediately, without delay, tell the Lord. That ought to be our delay, or our norm. That ought to be our practice. It's just like what we read of Nehemiah in Nehemiah 2 verse 4, and we've preached on these words before. So I prayed. So I prayed. That ought to be a mark of our life. So I prayed. Such and such happened, so I prayed. Found myself in such and such a place, so I prayed. That ought to mark our lives. And when you read that of Nehemiah, so I prayed, he did so without delay. It's not something that he got around to eventually. But it's what he did. It's what he did immediately. So I prayed. It's the same thing we read of Daniel Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed before his God as he did aforetime. It's what he did. It's what he did every day. He talked to God. He prayed. And what we read in our text, it's simply what they did. And anon, they tell him of her. And I don't believe that they thought of doing anything else. Without delay, they tell him of her. Prayer should not be our last resort. It should be our first resort. It should be the thing we do first. Oh, we all will get around to praying eventually. But that's sad. It should be the first thing that we do. People say, I felt helpless, so I prayed. You had to get to that point to pray. What that is saying is, I had no other recourse. I had no other place to go. If I did, I would have, but I didn't, so I prayed. There's something terribly wrong with that. And anon, they tell him of her. It was their instinct. Jesus is in the house. There's a need. Their inclination is to tell him. Their instinct is to tell him. It was what first came to their mind. We need to tell him. So personal examination is needed. When faced with a need, what is the first thing that comes to mind? Well, we might say, well, it depends on the need. It shouldn't. It shouldn't. When there is a need, what is the first thing that comes to mind? It should be, I've got to tell him. I've got to tell the Lord. When faced with a need, what is our instinct? When faced with a crisis, when faced with a burden, what is our instinct? What is our inclination? Someone might say, well, I eat. Well, that's sad. You ought to pray rather than eat. Well, I do such and such. Our first inclination ought to be to pray. Our first inclination ought to be to tell the Lord before we tell anyone else. So again, Jesus is there. There is a need. And anon, they tell him of her. That's what they did. And when it comes to changes, when it comes to dangers, when it comes to temptations, when it comes to sorrows, when it comes to gains or losses or choices or family or health or careers or finances or relationships, what do we do first? What is our inclination? When it comes to our hearts and our minds and our emotions and our situations, whether they be in our home, whether they be in our family, whether they be in our church, what is our impulse? What is our inclination? What is it that we do? Whatever it is, says much. Says much. But all that this be us. And anon, they tell him of. Put whatever you want after of. Our text is, they tell him of her. That was the need at the time. But this ought to be us, and anon, without delay, we tell Jesus. That needs to be our reaction. Now notice again this statement here in verse 30. And anon, they tell him of her. There are three pronouns in that statement. They, him, and her. They, him, and her. We want to look at those. They. That's the people who are telling. That's the people who are praying. Who is the they here? Well, it's the apostles. It's the saved, the called, the forgiven, the justified, the reconciled, the spiritually alive, the partakers with Christ. They are the objects of God's love, His grace, His mercy, and His miraculous power. They are the ones who have been brought into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And they have access to God through Christ. Now I believe that everyone ought to pray. But the Lord did not give the ministry of prayer to lost people. I believe lost people, it would do them good to pray. Some would argue, well, they can't. But he didn't give the ministry of prayer to kings. I believe kings ought to pray. He didn't give it to judges. I believe a wise judge will pray. God gave the ministry and the open line of prayer to His blood-washed and redeemed people. It's our privilege to pray. I believe they ought to pray in the White House. I believe they'd be wise to do so. I believe they'd be wise to pray in the courthouse. And I believe they'd be wise to pray in the schoolhouse. But we, the saved, are the people of prayer. We are the people of prayer. It is we that can come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. We have been given that privilege. It is we that have access to the Almighty God. It is we that have the privilege to pray. I mean, isn't there something mighty hypocritical about God's people getting upset because prayer's been taken out of the school, but they don't pray? There's something terribly wrong. We've been given the ministry to tell Him. Notice, they tell Him. Again, this is what they did. The word tell conveys the idea of they informed Him. Now, the Lord, of course, does not have to be informed. He knows all things. But I do believe that the Lord takes pleasure when you and I inform Him. It conveys the idea of notifying Him. They tell Him. And again, I believe the Lord takes pleasure We could sit back and we can say, well, the Lord knows all about it. Yes, He does. But He takes great pleasure in you and I telling Him. To tell means to relate. They tell Him of her. We don't know what they said. It's not recorded. That's not what's important. What's important is they tell Him. It is narrating. To tell is to narrate. It is to reveal. They tell Him. They did so out of a sense of need. And again, we pray out of a sense of need. Brother Mitchell Smith always used to say, don't tell me not to worry. I don't pray until I worry. There's some truth to that. But they prayed out of a sense of need. They prayed out of a sense of concern. They prayed out of with a burden. They told Him. Why did they tell Him? Because they had faith in Him. Because they had assurance concerning His person, who He was. They had assurance concerning His authority and His power and His love and His care and His willingness. So they tell Him. And anon they tell Him. They did so out of a sense of urgency. Now Luke gives us a little more detail concerning the telling. In Luke 4 verse 38, he says, they besought Him. They besought Him. What that means is they pleaded and begged. They pleaded and begged concerning her to Him. What that means is they felt the urgency of the situation. You don't beg until you feel a sense of urgency. They besought Him. It means that they felt their own helplessness. And with great intensity, and with passion and yearning and fervency, they told Him. They told Him. Now let's look at the next pronoun, Him. That's the one we pray to. That's the one we tell. Without the Him, the they and the her have no hope. No hope. They tell Him. You have they, you have her. But what's the focus? Him. They tell Him. And so it is with you and I. There's us. We're the they. There's the her. There's the need. What's the focus? Well, it can be on us. It can be on her, the need. But if we're rightly focused, it's on Him. That's where hope is. They tell Him. He was there. So they told Him. He's omnipresent through the person of the Holy Spirit. And we are to tell Him. They knew that He was there. He was there and they knew He was there. They knew who they were talking to. They tell Him. They knew who it was that they were talking to. It doesn't say they told them or they told so-and-so. But they tell Him. Christ. They told Him. The Savior. They told him. The door, the way, they told him. The healer, the deliverer, the redeemer, they tell him. The controller and the sustainer of the universe, the omniscient one, the one who is greater than all problems, all trials, all difficulties, all struggles, all impossibilities and needs, they tell him. They tell him. It does matter who you tell, by the way. It matters a lot. The one, they tell him, the one who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Again, it does matter who you tell. Who you tell. And you need to tell somebody. You have a need. You have a sense of urgency. You need to tell somebody, and it matters who you tell. And anon, they tell him. And you know what? He doesn't mind. He doesn't mind. He never minds me telling him. He does not worry. Oh, how many times people tell us things and they will say, I'm sorry, I don't mean to worry you. And what they tell us may worry us, but you never have to say those words to him. I don't mean to worry you. He doesn't worry. How many times someone will say, I'm really sorry, I don't mean to burden you with this, and then they proceed to tell. And what they tell us may burden us. We're human beings. And we may rather them not tell us. Believe me, there's a lot of things I wish I didn't know. A lot of things I wish I didn't know. A lot of things I wish I had never, ever, ever been told. But he doesn't mind. And they tell him. Without delay, I've got news for you. Anybody else you tell, they may mind. They may worry, they may be burdened, but not him. Not him. You cannot burden him down. He wants to hear. And anon, they tell him. I believe that they drew near to tell him. I don't picture them in one room of the house and him in another and them shouting. I picture them all in the same room. They're near to him. And they tell him. And the best way to tell the Lord anything is to draw near to him. To draw near. And do that without delay. And anon they tell him. Without delay, we ought to draw near, and without delay, we ought to tell him. Then notice the third pronoun, her. That's the petition of the prayer. They tell him of her. They told him of somebody who had a great need. They told him of somebody who could not help themselves. They told him of somebody who needed a miracle. We are told in Matthew and Mark's account that she lay sick of a fever. But Luke, remember he was a physician, so he gives a little more detail concerning her condition. In Luke 4 verse 38, Luke says she was taken, that is, overtaken and under the control, with a great fever, with a very serious, extraordinary, and very high fever. there was an urgent need. And they tell him of her. They tell him of her. So the her represents necessities, represents burdens, troubles and trials, etc. For every her, and I'm not talking about the female, I'm talking about our burdens and our needs. For every her, there's a him. That is Christ. That we can tell. And anon, they tell him of her. That's intercessory praying. That is praying for others. We are commanded to do so. James 5, verse 16 says, pray one for another. And we ought to do so without delay. Pray one for another. That's our duty. It is our duty to pray one for another. It ought to be our desire to pray one for another. It ought to be what we do. It ought to be what we do without delay. Pray one for another. Someone calls you. They say, I've got bad news. So-and-so is deathly ill or has been in a wreck or whatever. What do you do? What most people do is they get on the phone and call the next person. And by the time people get around to praying, I mean, a lot of praying could have been done in that time. Immediately, we ought to be praying. And anon, they tell him of her without delay. We ought to start praying. You hear Paul in Romans 1, verse 9, without ceasing I make mention of you before the Lord. And in Ephesians 1:16, making mention of you in my prayers. And in Philippians 1:4, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making request with joy. All the blessing of intercessory prayer. The blessing of being the they. Telling him of. But also think of the blessing of being the her. Others telling him of you. That's intercessory prayer. People ought to have confidence that others are praying for them. They ought to have that confidence that they are praying. It's good to be the her. It's good to be the they. We ought to be both. We ought to thank God for both. Even when they're the her, we need to be the they. That is, even when we have our own burdens, we should still be the they telling him of others. You see, some people have problems and the whole world has to stop for their problem. When you have problems, you still ought to be able to, without delay, pray for others. And if you can't, you're self-centered. You're a narcissist. It's as simple as that. If the whole world has to stop because you have a problem, you're a narcissist. God help us. And anon, they tell him of her. Oh, the blessing to be able, without delay, to pray. To draw near. Now notice what Jesus did. Following them telling Jesus, we read in verse 31, and he came. Now he's already in the house, so it's not talking about coming to the house. no doubt to where she laid, he came. And then in Matthew 8, verse 14, it says he saw. He came and he saw her. So he's drawn near to her. He's looking upon her. And Luke writes in Luke 4, verse 39, and he stood over her. I love that statement. When you consider who it is that stood over her, all the blessing. And he stood over her. And however sick she was, I believe she felt his presence. And he stood over her. We've all been there. So Jesus, following them, telling him, has drawn near to her. Do you know of anyone that you would like to see Jesus draw near to? Tell him. Without delay. Tell him. As he stood there in her presence, Luke says that he rebuked the fever. That means he addressed the problem. That's what Jesus does. That's why a lot of people don't want him around. He addresses the real problems. Matthew and Mark both record, not only did he rebuke the fever, but he touched her hand. And then Mark adds in our text, and lifted her up. And lifted her up. So there was him drawing near to her. There was him coming into contact with her. Not only did he draw near and stand over her, but he touched her hand. He came into contact. Do you know anybody that you would like to see Jesus come into contact with? Tell him. Tell him without delay. We can say, well, they need to come into contact with Christ. That's true. But wouldn't it be nice if the Lord just came into contact with them? And then there was the exercise of his power upon her. Do you know anybody that you would like to see Christ exercise his power upon? Tell him. Tell him without delay. Without delay. And all of this was effectual. Because we read the fever left her. The problem was the fever. Jesus rebuked the problem and the problem was gone. Do you know anybody who's in that situation? Tell him. Tell him. Mark adds, immediately the fever left her. Immediately. The fever left her. Again, the Bible is its own dictionary. You have the word anon, and this is true almost everywhere in Scripture. You see a word, most people do not know what that word means. We don't use it, an anon. But you read a little further and you see what it means. Immediately. The word occurs in another form. And immediately. So this reveals the power of his presence. Immediately the fever left her. It reveals the power of his word. He rebuked the fever and immediately the fever left her. It reveals the power of His touch. He touched her. He lifted her up. Do you know anybody who needs the power of His presence? Who needs the power of His Word? Who needs the power of His touch? Tell him. Don't waste time on Facebook telling a bunch of people who aren't going to tell the Lord. Tell the Lord. And do so without delay. Don't make 150 phone calls and probably 75% of them aren't going to talk to the Lord anyway. Tell Him. Tell Him. People are good at making prayer requests, but I don't think they're that good at praying. There's a big difference. And immediately, they tell Him of her. Again, I'm going to get off on Facebook again. People say, oh, Brother Dan, you don't understand what a prayer tool that is. I am sorry. I don't understand. And I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I do believe it can be used to make prayer requests. But if you spent less time on Facebook and more time praying, you'd be better off. And immediately, without delay, they tell Him of her. And He did His work in her life. Do you know anybody that you would like to see the Lord just get a hold of them and work in their life? Tell Him. Tell Him. It matters who you tell. There was manifest evidence of His work in her life. There always is. Mark records she ministered unto them. Matthew and Luke record that she arose and ministered unto them. But notice the order. There was healing, and then there was service. A lot of people who talk about serving the Lord, you can talk all you want, but you need healing. Healing, then service. Not vice versa. So in closing, there are always people. Ourselves, we include ourselves in this. There are always people who urgently need blessing. Don't we all? Then tell Him without delay. He's the giver of the blessing. Just makes sense to tell Him. There are people who urgently need saving. Every one of us know people who need to be saved. Tell Him. Tell Him every day. You say, well, I've been praying for that person for 20 years. Keep on praying. Don't stop now. You've invested 20 years. Don't stop now. We all need know people who need forgiving. It could be ourselves again. Tell Him. Without delay. We know people who need delivering. Tell the one who can deliver. We all know people who need hope. Tell Him. He's the giver of hope. Well, I just try to encourage them. Well, you can do that. But they need more than that. They need Him. You need to tell Him. We all know people that need help. And He's able to do all of these things. So this ought to be our lives. And anon, we tell Him of her. Without delay, may we out of a heart of concern and love and compassion and desire imitate, put into practice these words, and anon they tell Him of her. May that be us. May that be us. We hear something, and immediately we pray. Without any delay. Without thought of anything else, we pray. Prayer, true, serious praying, real praying, is a rarity today. It really is. It's quite rare. I mean, really, seriously praying. And it ought to be what we do first. Not after we've tried 75 other things, but it ought to be what we do first. It ought to be the first thing that comes to our mind. I need to pray. And don't be ashamed. I don't care how mad someone gets if I tell them, well, I need to pray about that. You can get mad all you want to. It's not going to change. That's what we need to do. And pray. And tell him of her. Brother Jim, would you come and lead?